The Senate will please come to order. Good morning, everybody. Okay. Chief Kirk will please call the roll.
Agar? Present. Anderson?
Here.
Anselmi Downton?
Here.
Baldwin?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Boner?
Here.
Bouchard?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe? Coe?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Ellis?
Present.
Emmerich?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Kinski?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Meyer?
Excused.
Moniz?
Here.
Nethercott?
Here.
Pappas?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Fladern?
Here.
Wasserberger?
Here.
Governor Bebout?
Here. Oh. For those out there in the hinterland listening, if you saw the faces of these senators when they made that comment, you'd appreciate while I'm smiling. Why I'm smiling. Father Dickey will lead us in the prayer. Please stand.
Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, the God of all mercies and bounties, whose measure is immeasurable, whose love for mankind and unfathomable death, falling down in adoration before your majesty, with fear and trembling with your servants, we offer thanks for your loving kindness that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for the adversities that help us overcome the difficulties, tensions, passions, and temptations that remind us of the one thing that is needed for your eternal kingdom. And by doing so, you restore us to peace, mutual love, and joy as we share in fellowship with one another and with you. We also thank you, Lord, for this country where we are free to worship you, for Wyoming, its leaders, lawmakers, civil authorities, and all who live in this great state. We thank you, Lord, for our families, husbands, wives, and children who we love. We thank you, Lord, for everything and for everyone. Great are you, O Lord, and marvelous are your works, and no words sufficient to celebrate your miracles. Glory be to you, O God, our benefactor. Together with your unoriginate Father, the Creator and Source of all things, in your all holy, then lighting Spirit, treasury of blessings, unto the ages of ages. Amen. May our Lord, God, the Savior, bless and keep you, and thank you all for your hard work and your advocacy. Here is your chaplain. Throughout this week, we will all remain in prayers.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. You know, we didn't have the mic on for you.
Oh, I tried to talk
about it. We forgot to turn it on. Did all of you hear his prayer this morning? I forgot to turn the mic on. That's the only mistake I made today. It's been a good day. Father, we want to thank you so much for being here and sharing your prayers with us. You know, as you look out here to the 30 senators that serve, and I know you appreciate what they do for public service, and they all have families, but we love Wyoming, and you're part of that. And your comments and your prayers have really been inspirational. We appreciate it. I have something for you.
Oh.
To give to remember the 64th legislature, the Senate side, and thank you so much. And you are in our prayers, and best of luck to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Would you like to say something?
Like always, it's a joy and a blessing for me to serve the good folks who serve not just the state of Wyoming,
but my community here in Cheyenne, my parish of Saints Constantine and Helen, and my own family, our youngest who you met yesterday. So thank you, and God bless each and every one of you, our country and the state of Wyoming, which I've been a citizen and constituent of for almost 6 years now. So I almost feel like a Wyomingite. But as you learn,
you are a Wyomingite.
but God bless you, and like I said, please pray for me, and God bless you.
Thank you very much. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 22, 2018 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, Chairman.
I had it somewhere here. Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor for the day, a familiar face, Dr. Doug Parks from Cheyenne. We all know who is, I would say, his better half, but I think that's fair. Thank you for being here, Doctor. And
I had to come here today to see her.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing her, and thank you for being here, Doctor. Welcome. Our nurse for the day is Jennifer Burns from the Wyoming State Board of Nursing. I've seen her out there and about. She's not here right now, but we want to welcome her. And Doug, for sure, you know, many years you've been doing this, and, you know, we really appreciated you being here and sharing your significant other with the Senate. She's a very important part of this thing we have. And our Senate staff is just incredible, and she's a big, big part of that. So, Senator Burns, you wish to be recognized?
Yes, Mr. President, in defense of Nurse Jennifer Burns, she is no relation to me.
I think that's a compliment, Senator Burns. Senator Anselmi Dalton, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask privilege of the floor,
you
please.
You may.
Thank you. I'd just like to recognize this eager young youth of Representative Salazar. I assume it's his son here with us today.
Oh, welcome. Representative Salazar, I think it's appropriate that you bring your son over here to observe the Senate. And thank you for doing that. And for many of you that may not know or realize, Representative Salazar is from Fremont County, and he's one of the members of the legislature that's nested in my district, and he's done a great job for Du Bois, is where he lives. So welcome to the Senate, you too, but your son especially. Welcome to the state Senate. Today in Wyoming history, in 1905, a creamery in Wyoming, in Cheyenne, began selling pasteurized milk. Today is day 10 of the halfway through. Today, 10 of the proposed 20-day session. This is the last day for Committee of the Whole in the House of Origin. Tuesday, the 27th, is the last day for second reading in the House of Origin. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you like to tell us a little bit about your schedule today before we do some other things and give us an idea what you got in mind?
Take over the world. So no, what we have today is we're just going to follow our regular order. We'll do bills on second reading, then we'll do bills on third and final passage, which will also include our budget bill. Then we'll finish up with consideration of bills on general file. The bills on general file are on the board. And so, the only thing between you and your long day weekend is all we've got to do.
Thank you. also members of the Senate. We've had the privilege of having a young man have our page for the last 2 weeks, and not that I'm prejudiced because he's from Riverton, but I am. But he's done a great job, and what a fantastic young man William is. And we have a little resolution that we're going to present to him. But William, would you come up here to the mic? We're going to I'm going to give you this and say a few words, but we really want to hear from you. So come on up, William. This resolution we have, I'm not going to do all of it, but it's resolved that William has served the Senate of the state of Wyoming with dignity and respect, no question about that, and that William's dedication will serve him well in future endeavors. And I think what we're really saying there is that you've been in the Senate, and if you decide to get into politics, you would consider being a senator. And for you, we have a little token from the 64th legislature for you to have, and when you're pursuing your life and career, hopefully in Wyoming, and whatever you do, you'll remember your 2 weeks with us. You know, you saw a lot of emotion, a lot of passion. What you saw is what legislature is all about, citizens. All of us are citizens serving the great state of Wyoming, and you can see each one of us have that desire and love for this great state, and I see that in your eyes as we're sitting here talking, too, that you feel that way. So, once again, thank you. Let's give him a standing ovation for his hard work. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much for all that. When I was talking to my mother the other day on the phone, she told me that wherever you go and no matter what you do, you're always making impressions on people. And I think in my time here, I have been so impressed with all of the hard work and kindness that actually goes into the legislature here. As a citizen, I'm very comforted to know that all the decisions are being made by the smart and hardworking people that we have here, and I hope that I have left a good impression on you as well as a leader of the up-and-coming generation. So thank you very much for having me.
The only thing different about him being from Fremont County, he didn't go to Shoshone. But very well said, and thank you so much, William, and we really wish you the best in your future endeavors. Hopefully you'll be in Wyoming and have a great life here like all of us have had. Okay, messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, February 22, 2018. Message number 132. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the following bill. House Bill number 91, Right to Repair Farm Equipment, Ayes 12, Noes 48. Message number 133, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the following bill. House Bill number 20, Game and Fish Agreements with Federal Agencies, Ayes 17, Noes 42, Excused 1. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees, we probably don't have any. I wouldn't think so. We're at that order biz introduction of House bills. House Bill 110, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 110, Wyoming Retirement Plans, Member Accounts, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee.
House Bill 110 shall be referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 126, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 126, Limited Liability Companies, Series, sponsored by Representative Olson.
House Bill 126 shall be referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Bills on second reading. Wow. We got a bunch of them. Senate File 17, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 17, Cease and Transfer Priority List.
Senate File 17 had been read two separate times. The question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time here? No objection. So ordered. Senate File 30, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 30, Notice of Hearing to Reopen an Estate Amendments.
Senate File 30 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 45, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 45, State Fair Board 2.
Senate File 45, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 57, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 57, Board of Law Examiners Appointment, Supreme Court Rules.
Senate File 57, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 64, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 64, Appropriation to State Engineer.
Senate File 64, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Here, no objections, so ordered. Senate File 72, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 72, School Finance Recalibration, Transportation.
Senate File 72, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Here, no objections, so ordered. Senate File 73, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 73, Permits for Small Underground Water Wells.
Senate File 73, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Hearing no objection. It is so ordered. Senate File 74, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 74, Crimes Against Critical Infrastructure.
We do have an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read that amendment in?
Senate File 74, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, page 8, line 17.
Good morning, Senator Christensen.
Good morning, Mr. President. I'd move that when the Committee of the Whole rights to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on Second Reading Amendment.
Start over, Senator Christensen.
I move that when the...
No. Move Second Reading Amendment Number 1.
Second Reading Amendment Number 1. The Senate File 72.
Four.
74.
2468.
Okay. All right. I move Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 74, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. And this is goes over on page 8, line 17. After including, we insert transmission facilities. Just to clarify what this covers and spell it out. With that, I call ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion? There being none, we're voting on Second Reading Amendment 1 to Senate File 74. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, no, that amendment has passed. Senate File 74 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Here, no objections. So ordered. Senate File 83. Second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 83, Controlled Substance Prescription Tracking.
Senate File 83, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Hearing no objections. So ordered. Senate File 85. Second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 85, Certificate of Nonviable Birth.
Okay, we have several amendments. Will the reading clerk please read in the first, second reading amendment?
Senate file,
read them all in, would you please?
Senate File 85, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, page 2, lines 4 through 8. Senate File 85, Second Reading Amendment Number 2, page 1, above line 1.
Okay, Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor real quick before we get to the amendment?
No.
Please?
You may.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to take a moment and apologize to the body for maybe the way I presented myself late last night with this bill. I realize that emotions run high with something like this. And I just want to make absolutely clear, I didn't mean to imply that anybody on this floor was misrepresenting this issue. I absolutely did not want to imply that your constituents were misrepresenting this issue, but rather that an emotional issue like this is easy to get folks riled up. There was an intentional effort to misrepresent this bill, which was then kind of twisted into a hammer used to beat down one of your fellow senators. So I objected to that in particular. but not to any of you or your constituents in particular who expressed concern about this legislation. So I apologize if I was a little aggressive in my rhetoric last night. I also apologize because it's clouded my judgment towards the legitimate critiques of this bill. And that's why we have this amendment number one here. So with that being said, Mr. President, I'll go ahead and relinquish.
Well, Senator Boner, thank you for those comments. We appreciate that. And you know, the neat thing about serving the legislature is we respect the institution, and we appreciate your comments. Mm-hmm. Okay, second reading amendment number one. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number one, the Senate File 85. And what this does, ladies and gentlemen, it goes on page 2, line 8. It makes it at the option of the doctor, whether they feel it's appropriate to even offer one of these certificates to a patient which has suffered a miscarriage. So this is just giving a tool to the doctor. It doesn't force them to ask the question. It leaves it up to their discretion. It makes this bill 100% permissive on par both not just the patient but on the doctor who's dealing with these losses. So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion? All in favor, second reading amendment number one to Senate File 85, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number two, Senator Anselmi Dalton, I believe. That's the name I have on this second reading amendment number two. Oh, that, without objection, that amendment has been withdrawn. Senate File 85, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 91, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 91, Government Contracts Labor Organization.
Senate File 91, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 93, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 93, Child Sexual Abuse Education and Prevention.
Senate File 93, having read two separate times. The question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 94, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 94, Tobacco Use Non-Discrimination Repeal.
Senate File 94, having read two separate times. The question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 97, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 97, Medicaid and SNAP Eligibility Requirements 2.
We do have an amendment, Senator Hicks. Excuse me, Senator Case.
Yeah. May I have that amendment read in?
Senate File 97, second reading amendments number 1, page 4, line 17.
Go ahead, Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, you and I represent the people of the Wind River Indian Reservation, and they have a treaty with the, and we've talked about commemorating these treaties with the United States government, which calls for the United States government to provide health care. And as you know, that's provided through a system it's called Indian Health Service, and it's provided on the reservation, but it falls within the definition of these programs, Mr. President. So this exempts enrolled members of the Eastern Shoshone or Northern Arapaho tribe or any other member of a federally recognized Indian tribe for whom the federal government is obligated to provide health care. Thank you very much, Mr. President. That's the amendment.
Further discussion? We're voting on second reading amendment number one to Senate File 97. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Senate File 97, have me read two separate times. The question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time? Here, no objection. So ordered. Senator Perkins.
President, ask that you lay Senate File 98 back one day.
Without objection, Senate File 98 will be laid back for one day. Senate File 99, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 99, Fairgrounds Horse Racing Events.
Senate File 99. We do have an amendment. I don't have it up here. Would you hand it to me, please? Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 99, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 6.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 99, folks, I've got an apology to make as well. My lawyer on the floor advised me yesterday that the bill didn't track, and when I got home and got to looking and visiting the staff, did not. I deleted one of the amendments that made it track. This makes the wholesome bill whole. So I ask for your indulgence and vote yes to make the wholesome bill whole. Thank you.
Further discussion? We're voting on second reading amendment. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Just a question. So that made the holistic bill non-holistic? Is that my understanding?
Okay. Voting on second reading amendment number one to Senate File 99. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Second reading amendment number one has passed. Senate File 99 having read two separate times. The question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time here? No objection. So ordered. Senate File 100. Second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 100, Economic Diversification Broadband Services.
Okay, we do have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 100, second reading amendment number 1. Delete the page 1, line 16.
Center office. You're on second reading amendment number 1.
Thank you, Mr. President. My apologies. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 100, ask the body for favorable consideration. We had an amendment yesterday that defined unserved areas with regard to the broadband legislation that we were looking at. That unserved area only specified a circumstance that really is for residential entities. So a lot of work was done since our legislative committee meeting where we worked this bill to try and come up with a better definition of unserved area, and this is that definition, Mr. President. It was put together with consultations of industry, of the committee members, of the stakeholders that have been working on this legislation, as well as the Endow Initiative, to really refine what we're talking about for unserved areas where the grants would be applicable. So as we look at the amendment, you can see that it's a substantial change to the earlier definition, where unserved area, we see on lines 15 and beyond, is an area with a proposed project in which there exists no fixed terrestrial broadband service or in which the maximum fixed terrestrial broadband speed available for residential customers stays the same, that 10 megabits per second download or 1 megabit per second upload. But there was a lot of concern about circumstances where there's a business corridor, and 10-1, even if you're at 10-1, is rubbish from a business perspective. So the change, or the addition, I should say, is being made where for circumstances with a population of less than 2,000, would be 25 megabits per second and 3 megabits per second upload, or with a population of 2,000 or more, 50 megabits per second down and 5 megabits per second upload. And a business corridor in an incorporated area of a county would be 25 megabits per second down and 3 up. And then the Wyoming Business Council shall, by rule, establish a definition of unserved areas for purposes of this article. So this is an update to the amendment we brought yesterday. Again, all of the parties that have been involved in this have been consulted, and this is the consensus position we should move forward with. I urge the body to adopt it.
Further discussion? Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick question. Where did the number 2,000 population come from? It's just curious as to why that was picked.
Any other questions before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Any others? Yes, Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. This is I rise in support of the amendment, and just with a little bit of privilege would give a comment that part of my concern with this bill all along was just wondering what it would do for my part of the world. And in conversations with all of our business leaders out there, come to find out, it's going to benefit the entire state. There's a lot of these corridors and a lot of these areas across the state. It really doesn't matter if you're in an urban area or if you're in a rural area. So, Mr. President, on and in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
Okay, Senator Scott. Mr. President, my question relates to the 2,000 population figure, and what I want to know, it seems to me you can get some circumstances where this speed is critical for businesses in an area where the employment may be significant, but the people actually live a little bit elsewhere. And is there discretion in there to accommodate that kind of circumstance? I can think in my district where there's some industrial development going along the railroad tracks beyond the fairgrounds where there's considerable employment. And if they had needs for broadband out there, they're not big enough maybe to get it themselves, and the population is more towards town. So I wonder if there's flexibility in here to accommodate that kind of circumstance.
Okay, anybody else before the sponsor takes on these questions for a second time? Anybody else? Senator Perkins.
And just to further clarify, I mean, I've got the same question about that. And so when we talk on line 23 specifically, when we talk about within a municipality, a business corridor within a municipality, and I think that's the issue is we have significant business developments throughout the state that are not necessarily within the boundaries of a municipality. And so just is that just too narrow of a do we need to change, work on that somehow so that we broaden that so that we get in the business corridors that we actually have as opposed to ones that are just within municipalities?
Senator Case.
Well, Mr. President, thank you very much. I don't exactly know where the numbers come from, Mr. President, but it's clear that if you're going to provide telecommunications services, you broadband is one of the services you provide, and you try to sell, it's a profit model that is normally used in the world, Mr. President. It's a very good model. It's worked for a long time. I think the cavemen used it, Mr. President, and the cavewomen too, Mr. President. So when you have a profit model, it's nice to have in density of customers, as you might understand. But this is not a profit model, so maybe these numbers shouldn't apply because this is just a wholesale subsidy model where we're going to just jam money in here and probably not make any money. So maybe these numbers aren't important. But if you want to compare them to what the private sector does, increasing density is important to be able to provide these services, more people, more customers, more money, more investment. It's how we built America.
Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And then just a quick question, understanding the broadband within a business corridor within a town. because I had in my head that this was going to run between towns. So a hypothetical that's not so hypothetical I had in mind is a business says, we can do remote monitoring of secure cameras all across the Mountain West, but our provider won't extend it down our road. Would this extend it down the road? Second hypothetical, our provider will extend it down the road. They want us to pay $10,000, sign a 10-year contract. Would that still meet the definition of whatever it is for them to get some kind of grant or subsidy, to use the word from my friend from Lander? Thank you.
Okay, anybody else before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Senator Office, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, addressing the questions, the first was regarding the population threshold, and this was a look at the state and based on the service levels that were provided elsewhere at various speeds, so kind of the industry standard versus what we had. The 2,000 level was what was arrived upon. So it's trying to be consistent with kind of the national industry standard of what a provided area has. If that number is causing problems, it can certainly be revisited. With regard to the special circumstances and flexibility, you can see in the F provision that flexibility is intended to be designed over the next couple of years because unserved area will be further refined by rule and regulation by January 1st, 2020. As far as the flexibility right now, where you're basically in an area near a city that wouldn't be an incorporated area of a county, this I don't think would cover some of those concerns, and so we might want to provide a little bit of additional language to do that. I think that's a good catch by the senator from Natrona County that we could do on a third reading amendment and consult with the folks that are the stakeholders and see how best to remedy that. As far as the idea of the down-the-road concept, the way this grant is working, you have to have an entity that's applying to be served. They have to be trying to receive service. And part of that grant, obviously, will be the connectivity to that municipality, for example. And you will have to bring fiber from wherever it's at now to the city or municipality and then start working on the build-out. As far as just building the infrastructure in between, again, there's no provision for just saying, hey, we want to send a corridor north. Some city to the north would have to be receiving that corridor to upgrade because they're an unserved area based on the language of the statute, which, again, is not language in this amendment. That's language of the bill. So if we have concerns there, it's not this amendment that would be the problem, but the way the bill is currently structured, where perhaps we would need additional flexibility, and maybe that could be worked out where you're trying to combine between municipalities. There could be a joint application, but that's not specifically particular to this bill. So, Mr. President, I'll try and get some follow-up answers and understand a little bit more of the 2,000 population, as well as any considerations that were taken into that were looked at by by the drafters on this with regard to those outside of the municipality areas that might need the high throughput and whether that was discussed. With that, though, Mr. Chairman, this is a step in the right direction, and again, we have consensus among the stakeholders. I hope the body will support it.
Senator Ossoff, would you come up here, please? Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number one. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one is passed. Senate File 100, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time? Here, no objections. So ordered. Senate File 101, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 101, Private Property Rights, National Historic Preservation Act.
Okay, we have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that amendment in.
Senate File 101, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 14.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1, the Senate File 101. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I appreciate the feedback I've received on this bill. And we've amended the language here to reflect that the National Historic Preservation Act isn't all bad, but still while maintaining that it can have a detrimental effect on both landowners and industry alike. So instead of going through line by line, I'll just read to you what the new language would read, since it's only two sentences. So basically the new language would be, the legislature finds that while the National Historic Preservation Act is vital to preserving our history, the federal government's implementation of the National Historic Preservation Act can undermine the rights of private property owners, inhibit economic activity critical to the state of Wyoming, and suppress revenues to the state, local, and federal governments. The legislature further finds that these negative effects can be limited if a federal agency refrains from imposing any delay or restriction on a permit based on any viewshed or similar requirement on private property. So that's all we're pointing out. We're saying, yeah, we understand the NHPA works pretty well, probably, you know, about 95% of the time, but we have to be cognizant of the ways in which it can be used to completely suppress economic activity. And just to drive home the point, we're talking about when an entry-level or mid-level BLM employee walks out onto private property and says, you know what, there's a chief person mining me on this hill, we're going to shut down all oil and gas activity within the viewshed of this particular sheep herders monument, and that extends for, you know, 10 miles around that particular monument. That's the sort of thing we're talking about, and so I think that this amendment focuses on that while still acknowledging the ways in which the NHPA still works. I hope we can support the amendment, and in doing so, support the bill.
Senator Ossoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm for the amendment. I really appreciate the sponsors' work on this to make the language reflect the discussion that was had by the stakeholders and the folks in committee. So thanks to the sponsor. Hope the body adopts this.
Further discussion, there being none, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 101. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, that amendment has passed. Senate File 101, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time? Here, no objections. So ordered. Senator Hicks. You're probably ready on your next amendment. Senate File 107, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 107, Lawful Fence Standards Preemption.
We do have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that in.
Senate File 107, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 1.
Now, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, and I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 107. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday there was a question from my colleague in Fremont County to ask if this particular bill was retroactive. In fact, I went and asked that question of our staff attorneys, and they said it was the way it was currently drafted with the use of the word adopted, that it was not. It has always been the intent of this legislation to be retroactive. So this just goes into page 2, line 1, and deletes the word adopted. I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the bringer of the amendment have, or how many regulations would this undo then? I'm just curious.
Any other discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Senator Hicks, for your second time.
So, Mr. President, what this does is, in fact, if there is a planning ordinance or a rule adopted by a county that would require or compel a landowner to modify his fence in any designated area by the county, it would basically say that rule is null and void. That's what it does.
Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 107. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Senate File 107, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senator Driscoll, would you come up here for a second?
Kind of a daily reoccurring.
Senate File 108, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 108, Economic Diversification and Development.
We do have an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read that in?
Senate File 108, second reading amendment number 1, page 7, line 16.
Senator Driscoll?
Mr. President, I'd like to withdraw the amendment.
Without objection, that is noted. That amendment has been withdrawn. Senate File 108, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 111, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 111, Property Taxation, Digital Currencies.
Senate File 111, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 113, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 113, Community Development Districts.
Senate File 113, have me read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the Senate File be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 117. Senator Peterson.
Mr. President, I would ask for Senate File 117 to be laid back one day. We're still working on those second reading amendments.
Without objection, Senate File 117 will be laid back for one day. Senate File 118, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 118, Kickstart Wyoming Economic Diversification.
Senate File 118, have we read 2 separate times? The question is, shall the bill be heard a 3rd time? Hear no objection. So ordered. Senate File 119, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 119, Workforce Development Priority Economic Sector Program.
Senate File 119, have we read 2 separate times? The question is, shall the Senate file be read a 3rd time? Hear no objections. So ordered. Senate File 120, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 120, Government Efficiency Project.
Senate File 120, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a 3rd time? Hear no objection. So ordered. And Senate Joint Resolution 4, second reading of the Joint Resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 4, Public School Financing.
Senate Joint Resolution 4, having me read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the Joint Resolution be read a 3rd time? Hear no objections. It is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe we have a consent list.
Mr. President, I move third reading consent list, which reads, which is as follows. Senate File 43, organ donation, training, and timely postmortem examinations. Senate File 56, real property as a collateral bond. Senate File 62, omnibus water bill planning. Senate File 66, voluntary health care. Senate File 67, Wyoming Public Lands Day. Senate File 78, Opioid Addiction Task Force. Senate File 79, Vertical Takeoff and Landing Aircraft Regulation. Senate File 84, Motor Vehicle Registration Deployed Military Members. Senate File 86, DUI Recidivism Reduction, Drinking Privilege Sanctions. Senate File 95, Medicare Discrimination. Senate File 110, Paramutual Events Horse Racing Account. You know that drinking privilege thing.
You're still on the mic there, Senator Perkins. Drinking privilege. Disregard that last comment. Would any members of the Senate like any of these Senate files removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, a quick, yes, Senator Christensen.
43, please.
Okay, Senate File 43 has been removed from the consent list. Any others? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 56, real property as a collateral bond. Senate File 62, omnibus water bill planning. Senate File 66, volunteer health care, sub 1. Senate File 67, Wyoming Public Lands Day. Senate File 78, Opioid Addiction Task Force. Senate File 79, Vertical Takeoff on Landing Aircraft Regulations. Senate File 84, Motor Vehicle Registration, Deployed Military Members. Senate File 86, DUI Recidivism Reduction, Driving Privilege Sanctions. Senate File 95, Medicare Discrimination. And Senate File 110, Paramutual Events Horse Racing Account. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
On the consent list, Agar, aye. Anderson, aye. Anselmi Dalton, aye. Baldwin, aye. Barnard, aye. Boner, aye. Bouchard, aye. Burns, aye. Case, aye. Christensen, aye. Coe, aye. Dockstetter, aye. Driscoll, aye. Ellis, aye. Emmerich, aye. Hastert, aye. Hicks, Kinski,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nethercott,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Bonfladern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Bebout.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. Senate File 56, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 56, 30 aye. Senate File 62, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 62, 30 aye. Senate File 66, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 66, 30 aye. Senate File 67, are there any changes?
Burns,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 67, 29 aye, 1 no. Senate File 78, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 78, 30 aye. Senate File 79. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote. Closed. Senate File 7930I. Senate File 84. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote. Closed. Senate File 8430I. Senate File 86. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote. Closed. Senate File 8630I. Senate File 95. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote. Closed. Senate File 9530I. Senate File 110. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote. Closed. Senate File 110-30I.
Mr. Vice President, would you please come up here? Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 40, Senate File 56, Real Property, the Collateral Bond, Senate File 62, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, Senate File 66, Volunteer Health Care Sub 1, Senate File 67, Wyoming Public Lands Day, Senate File 78, Opioid Addiction Task Force, Senate File 79, Vertical Takeoff and Landing Aircraft Regulations, Senate File 84, Motor Vehicle Registration, Deployed Military Members, Senate File 86, DUI, Recidivism Reduction, Driving, Privilege Sanctions, Senate File 95, Medicare Discrimination, and Senate File 110, Paramutual Events, Horse Racing Account, have passed the Senate.
Go ahead and take over. You've got to do this bill. Senator Christian. Yeah, and then I've got to take it. I'll be right back. Go ahead. Okay.
Senator Christensen, we're on Senate File 43. You asked that it be pulled. Would reading clerk please read in the bill?
Thank you. Senate File 43, Organ Donation Training and Timely Postmortem Examination, sponsored by the Labor Committee, an act relating to anatomical gifts.
Senator Christensen, did I turn your microphone? I didn't. Okay, here you go.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. My coroner reached out to me and said that he's still concerned about the amount of requirements, not a significant change on increasing organ donation and organ donation, and I do believe he is a strong supporter of organ donation. However, his concern was that we're just adding more requirements and maybe not getting a positive outcome. I understand there's been an amendment, but out of respect and a very recent email on that, as in the last day, I thought I better double check.
Senator Bouchard.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I can answer that. This is an issue that I had a lot of heartburn with and got everybody together at the table. And so on page 3 of that bill, we actually struck the part where the coroner had to jump through some hoops on starting on page 3, line 10 through 14. I talked to all the stakeholders, the coroners, the prosecutors, and they were fine with the training. And they said that most of this training would even be done online, so there wouldn't be a lot of extra duties there. And they said they were very happy with training and learning how the process should work. The real heartburn was the amendment that we took off on page 3. So I think that made everybody happy, and the coroners actually shook my hand for making this happen. So I think we're in good shape.
Anyone else like to speak on Senate File? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, and previous senator was exactly right, and I think the balance comes down to you've got some residual opposition that was created before the amendment that was described took place in committee, and there are some that still don't like the idea of the 4 hours of training. Frankly, you've got a balance that off against increased organ donations. And Mr. Vice President, my judgment is that the increased organ donations doesn't take very many to outweigh the problems of 4 hours of additional training.
Anyone else like to speak on Senate File 43? Senator Rothfuss.
I don't know why it's not.
There we go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the bill. I do think the concerns have largely been worked out, but if there are any residual concerns that still haven't been worked, there's more process ahead, and I think there's plenty of opportunity to revisit in the next potential committee meeting and sort out any minor nuances. But this is a bill about saving lives and a little bit of extra training to provide the possibility of some life-saving opportunities is worth the trade, even if there are some hiccups left. So I think the body can still sort through that. If we have to come back in a future year and amend it a little bit, that will be fine. But erring on the side of saving lives seems like the right thing to do on this bill, and I support the bill.
Anyone else like to speak on Senate File 43? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall this bill pass the Senate, Senate File 43? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Bladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Excused.
Excused. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 43, 27 aye, 2 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 43 has passed the Senate. We are waiting on Mr. Majority Floor Leader. This is the budget? Yes. Okay, we'll stand at ease to the sound of the gavel. Okay. Yeah. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, could you make a motion to lay back the budget bill until later?
Yeah, well, you know, actually, I was just ready to vote, don't you think?
Yeah.
So with that, they're collating, Mr. Vice President, and so they're fastly collating. Remind me when I was a little kid, my mother was the chairman of the chamber, or the worked for the Chamber of Commerce, and they used to bring my brothers and sisters down there, and we were the collators for the Chamber of Commerce back then before they had. But so that's what you're seeing there. There it looks like they're circling the table in there, putting our amendments together. There'll be a little bit. So with that, we lay third reading budget bill back, SF1, for approximately 30 minutes. And with that, for right now, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole for consideration of bills on general file.
You've heard the motion. How do you, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator Hicks, where are you? Senator Hicks. Senator Rothfuss, would you come up? Senator Hicks. Senator Hicks, we're looking for you.
Committee of the whole, Chairman?
Committee of the whole.
Okay.
It's right here. I got one for you.
You need his glasses.
You don't need a script.
We'll help you. Well, I'm going to put one more up.
You are?
Which one is
three marijuana?
Yeah.
Nope. All right, L3, SJ3 Capital Construction. Where's the, Michael? Oh, here it is. Okay. Yeah. Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution Number 3. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate Joint Resolution 3, School Capital Construction Constitutional Amendment, sponsored by Senator Scott, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to transfer responsibility to construct school facilities to school districts.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Senator Peterson. You're live.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a due pass on Senate Joint Resolution 3. There are no standing committee amendments, and for a better explanation of this Senate Joint Resolution, I would turn the time over to Senator Scott.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Joint Resolution 3, constitutional amendment on school capital construction. What it does is it returns us to a modified version of the local school bond system that we used from the time of statehood until the time of the Campbell decision and Supreme Court decision. And it's the basically that's the system that my information is it's 45 other states use it. So it's very common across this country. And the reason, Mr. Chairman, it worked in Wyoming for so many years and has worked in so many other states for so many years is that the decision on what to build for school buildings is made by the voters of the district, the local community, where the school buildings are, and they can judge better than anybody else what's needed and what's not. And they have to weigh the value to the community, to the school children in that community, of the new construction versus the fact that their personal property taxes will go up, Mr. Chairman. And that gets you very good decisions, was our experience. I grew up watching this system, watched it for most of my adult life, and how it functioned in our county in particular. And when the school district really needed something, they could get the bond issue passed, and we built schools. And we did a lot of that because the community was growing. When it didn't need something, when it gold-plated it, when it didn't needed luxury, it wanted luxuries rather than classroom space, things that were actually needed for education, the voters could spot that. And nobody likes being ripped off, and they'd vote it down. And the school trustees would come back with what they really needed, and they'd pass. That's the way it works. They... colloquial expression is skin in the game, Mr. Chairman. The difference in this amendment from the system we had before the Supreme Court decision, Mr. Chairman, is this provides a constitutional mandatory equalize up to take care of school districts whose assessed valuation is below average. Those districts would still have to tax themselves as if they had the assessed valuation equal to the state average. So they still have the skin in the game, but the state would make up the difference between their low assessed valuation and what was needed to pay back those bonds. And by putting that in Constitution, it was guaranteed. Hopefully we'd appropriate the money, but if we didn't have it, then there's a mechanism for a statewide mill levy, frankly, to make up that difference. You have to have a fail-safe mechanism, Mr. Chairman, or the bonding companies won't look at you. You can't market the bonds. So you have to have that. It does give the legislature a clear power to deal with major maintenance. That's outside this. It does give the legislature clear power to regulate things like when do you hold the elections and that kind of thing. Those statutes are already in the books, Mr. Chairman. And it does give the legislature clear power to appropriate money to take care of unforeseen hardships. That's in the amendment. Let me speak to the need for the amendment, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we're broke in this area. Our current system is not going to work anymore because it was funded, not 100%, but almost entirely, by coal lease bonus money. And, Mr. Chairman, in the foreseeable future, there isn't coal lease bonus money. There just isn't. We've got to do something else. And the magnitude of the costs here, Mr. Chairman, are such that we cannot come up with enough tax revenue so that we could just appropriate the money from some other source. It just isn't there. This year, I think I added it up, forgetting the major maintenance, but in the capital construction part of the budget, it was just under $60 million, and that's at a low ebb. We can anticipate, you can make your own estimate as to what that figure is going to be in the future once we return, Mr. Chairman, to a more normal situation. $100 million, $200 million a year? I don't know. It's going to be of that order of magnitude. You'd have to decimate some of the rest of the state government or impose an income tax or raise a severance tax. You'd have to do something that would be quite harmful to fund it directly from the state revenues we can see, Mr. Chairman. So we need a solution, and this, Mr. Chairman, is a time-tested, sensible way of doing it that lets the decisions be made by the people that have the most at stake, Mr. Chairman. So that's the need for the bill. And I want to say that, you know, we're facing this financial crisis right across the sweep of what the state government does. We've been trying to cut, but you know you can't cut your way out of it. We talked about raising some taxes on the margin, but nothing's come out of the House this year, and we can't deal with it entirely that way. We need to start finding some systematic solutions, Mr. Chairman, and in this particular area, this is a systematic solution that would work. Now, the other day in another constitutional amendment, I said there's two things it has to do. It has to be clear enough so that it will be implemented. The courts will understand it. they can't be convinced that it doesn't say what we think it says. I think this passes that test. The concern I have, Mr. Chairman, and it's one that I appeal to the Senate for help on. Of necessity, this is complicated. I want us to think a bit, are there some ways we can improve the language that we can make it clearer to the voters what's going on, why, and how it's going to work? And, Mr. Chairman, I've been here long enough to know that nobody has all the answers to these problems. I appeal to the members of the Senate to look at this. You've got my best effort here. I had a lot of help from the LSO on it, but it's my effort, and I think it can be improved on by the wisdom of the legislature as it goes through the process. So if we can find some ways to simplify the language, simplify the concepts here, I'm all for it. I think it would help sell it. And I think this is probably, Mr. Chairman, I think we ought to pass it. We need to put something on the table to deal with this problem and solve the problem. This will do it. I think, I hope it passes. I urge the Senate to pass it. I suspicion with what's going on elsewhere that this is a multi-session project, but we need to take the first step and say the Senate is willing to solve the problem, Mr. Chairman. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. I urge the Senate to adopt the constitutional amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I rise in support of this, too. I think it does two things. There's a couple things it doesn't do. I think it gets the local folks back into the equation, and I think it brings more money into the equation, both which I think are very important. The one thing that it doesn't do, and the good senator and I talked about this earlier, I think, and that's you still have to get the thing passed no matter what at the end of the day. And this one is kind of hard on the folks that are in the poorer counties, but if you fix that and bring it back into where it's equal across the board as some of our original school decisions, then it's kind of tough on the richer counties. And so you've got to figure out where that sweet spot is some way or another. So we know that we've got enough people out there that will actually vote for it. So I think that's kind of the thing that we've got to roll around a little bit and do some work on. But it does two things very well, I think, and that's gets the local folks involved and puts some more funds in the equation. And we're short on both.
Senator Wasserberger.
Well, just a question for the sponsor. And as I understand this, if a local community, say Laramie County School District Number 1, passes a bond issue, then ultimately what we're saying here is that the Board of Equalization would then determine the mill levy, and that mill levy would go all across the state? Or would it just be to Laramie County School District Number 1?
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, fair question. That would be the mechanism. Suppose Laramie County School District Number 1 had, say, half the state average assessed valuation. You would then have, they would pay then so that each one of them had taxes as if they had the assessed valuation. We'd have to make up the other half. And that would be spread if we can come up with a stream of money. And if our economy improves a little bit, I think we could find that kind of a stream of money. That would take care of it. But if we don't, you have to have a fail-safe. And the state board would recommend, and the five elected officials would approve. So you'd have that check on what it was, but it would go across the entire state so that Laramie County number one would participate in that. Their property taxes would go up, but so would yours up in Campbell County. And everybody's right across the state. So rather than a complicated mechanism of recapture healthier districts, we're going to spread that cost to everybody. So the decision would be made by the voters who are most affected and whose taxes will go up the most. But it could have potentially affect everybody's. And since it's a decision made by the relevant group of people, I think that's fair and appropriate. But that's the mechanism, and if somebody has a better mechanism, let it be proposed. We need to do something, and this is a something that would work, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have. I was in love with this bill until the end.
Senator, Senator, it's not the end. It's just getting started.
It's just getting started. What I'm having trouble with is the idea that, okay, and I don't mind paying for schools, but we all know that we have problems in Laramie County School District Number 1. So if they pass a bond issue, they know their mill levy is going to go to a certain amount, but then the rest of the state gets taxed to pay for Laramie County School District Number 1. You know, I've already done that through coal lease bonus funds. And what my real problem is that yesterday we talked about a constitutional amendment that said the Supreme Court is not going to require the Wyoming legislature to increase taxes. But now we're going to turn over our right to tax to the Board of Equalization, which, if I remember correctly, is just a three-member board, and then that's approved by the five electeds. And so I guess I'm really struggling with where we're at, but I'm in love with the idea. I just don't like how we're going to do it, and I think that causes me a lot of problems.
Senator Peterson.
I'd certainly add my compliments to the sponsor. It's a novel idea, and it's one that's probably long overdue. The challenge I see is marrying these two systems, the old end and what we're presently doing with our schools. The wording on page 3, and I've talked to the sponsor about this, and there we have districts out there that have undergone consolidation with multiple communities. In one of my districts up there, there are 5 communities in one school district. And, of course, we haven't been able to pass a bond issue for probably 40 years because every town had to get something. As a carrot to pass a bond issue, and so it became more expensive. But the wording is the legislature may appropriate funds for those hardship cases, and they may not. So the political ramifications start to enter in, and we've been trying to keep political as much as possible out of this school building process, but it's a challenge when you involve the legislature. So that wording concerns me a little bit. And again, the challenges of maybe better clarifying the process of marrying these two in this resolution to how it would particularly happen, it's a concern I have. The hardship clause, the political pressures and the influence that will definitely have on, in one case, the hardship cases. But I do believe, Mr. Chairman, that the locals have to put something in. And I think the accountability is fantastic, whether it be a certain percentage of a project, but they should have some skin in the game. And there should be that accountability, and we've lost that with the present system that we have, Mr. Chairman, so I would leave it at that.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just going back in history a little bit, going back to 1998, when... I was the co-chairman of the school CAPCON committee, the first one after the Supreme Court decision, and I co-chaired that with a good representative from Fremont County, who all of you probably knew or know of, and we devised a plan to come back with what we call a mill levy supplement power equalization formula, which the Supreme Court found unconstitutional. So that was my first experience of sponsoring something that was unconstitutional. I had another one a couple of years ago. We don't want to talk about that one. But what it did was a district had to be at 90% of bonding capacity before this kicked in, and we would take the five highest assessed valuation districts in the state and take that average, and then we created a mill levy supplement program back to that district that's trying to put some skin in the game. Now, this is just an idea for the sponsor. This is what we did in 98, and I thought it worked pretty good because we were getting out of the building school business because the Supreme Court said we had to do that. That building schools would no longer be a function of local wealth, be a function of state wealth. This is a good amendment if we can figure out a way, I think, to restructure it a little bit, because the involving the State Board of Equalization, I'm not sure is quite the right way to go to the sponsor, but I would be more than happy to work on an amendment that would go back to what we did, tried to do in 1998, unsuccessfully. But with this amendment, I think our plan in 1998 would work. So I'd be happy to work with the sponsor.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have concerns about the constitutional amendment. I think the concept is an important one, which is trying to raise additional revenue and find a way to engage the local community in their school construction. I think it was important in Albany County when we ended up bonding for our high school that it made a big difference. It really engaged the community, and we got what we wanted out of that school because we were willing to step up, provide property taxes, and then when we had that proverbial skin in the game, for the 20,000th time we've said that perhaps this session, all of a sudden the community was very interested in getting the school right and making sure we got the things that we wanted. And that wouldn't have taken place to the same degree in any way if that bond hadn't passed. So that's the part of this concept that led me to vote for introduction on this constitutional amendment, is trying to find a way to provide that link. As it stands right now, though, it is going to lead to the inequities that caused us to go to a statewide process to begin with. And I realize that we're changing the Constitution now, so the theory is that we'll be okay because we're changing the Constitution and that'll remedy things. But that assumes that we want inequity. It assumes that the only thing that's standing in our way between where we're at now and a really good inequitable system is that pesky Constitution that demands equity. And I don't know if that's an aspiration we want. I some of us do. I can see from the looks on faces over in the corner of the northern part of the state. But if we don't want inequity, then we need to find a way where a school district that is less inclined to pass that bond is going to still get a school. And a school that's comparable to the other schools, that's sufficient. And the reality is, if we pass this as drafted right now, you know, maybe I don't even need to stand up, because all of you are going to pay for school after school after school in Albany County, and I will send you Christmas cards each and every year in thanks and appreciation for you funding my schools. We'll pass every bond that's put up. But I know that the rest of the senators in the room can't say that. And each of you knows your district. And each of you knows the likelihood of those bonds passing. And it doesn't depend on whether you care about quality education. It doesn't depend upon the quality of education that you have. It depends on whether your voters are willing to support additional taxation. And I think we know after this session that not all of ours are. So while I want to keep working on this, I don't want to defeat it on committee of the whole. I want to see this investigated further. We need to do a lot of thinking to get to the point where the rest of you will have good schools. I'm pretty confident mine will end up well if this passes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I stand ready to work with my colleague on amendments on this. I think we've heard discussion of some of the potential shortcomings of this system.
Well, you want this bill?
I think we need to carry it forward and see what we can come up with. And I'm looking for positive suggestions. I will suggest a couple principles. I think the requirement for local buy-in, I hate the expression skin in the game, but when that expresses what we're talking about, local people have to be willing to support it. They know what their community needs. They know gold plating when they see it. We need that. That needs to be a central feature. We need to have something where the repayment of the bonds is absolutely guaranteed and backed by an assured source of revenue. You can't sell the bonds if you don't have that, for good reason. Investors are not stupid, and the people that market the bonds to them are not stupid. And you've got to have that. Within those parameters, I think we ought to be able to work out a solution. I think it would be crazy to equalize everybody up to the top, the very top assessed valuation districts. You'd get more equity, but you'd spend a lot more than I think you need to. Everything that the government does is conditioned by what we can afford as a state. So you do have to have some limitation on it, a mechanism with some limitation. This is a balance. It takes care of the poorer districts that couldn't otherwise. It does give the wealthier districts the ability to construct some fancier facilities at the same tax level. They have some special problems in those areas. There's pluses and negatives to having a coal mine, big coal mine in your district. Or oil wells all over the place. So it does help the wealthier districts. It's a balance. But there's probably some ways we can do it better, and I'm very open to doing that. But I do urge the Senate, we need to move this forward. I don't have illusions as to how far it may get all the way this time, but let's do our best to get a system that would work. And I stand willing to work not only with my colleagues in the northeast part of the state, but with northwest part of the state. I stand willing to work with anybody that has some creative ideas to deal with this within those parameters. That there's got to be local buy-in on this, local vote, and there has to be guaranteed repayment of the bonds, because nothing else. If you don't have that, it isn't going to work.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with the favorable recommendation that Senate Joint Resolution Number 3 pass, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Bill passes. Senate Joint Resolution 3 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 102.
Senate File 102, National Teaching Certification, an Act Relating to Educators, sponsored by Senator Hastert, was referred to Committee Number 4, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger. Senator Coe, Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, move when the committee of the whole rising report to do so with the do-pass recommendation on Senate File 102. For an explanation of this Senate file, this good little Senate file, I defer to Senator Hastert.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. Bring you Senate File 102 and ask for your favorable consideration, National Teacher Certification. Members of the Senate, serving on JAC, through the interim, we heard testimony and concerns about the National Teacher Certification Program, and we're able to wanted to address some needs that that came out through our deliberations and JAC, and found that the statutes didn't quite reflect what was in practice today. So just a little background. In the late 1990s, the original language was adopted to jumpstart teachers seeking to achieve national board certification in the state of Wyoming. At that time, only one-time appropriation was made to provide reimbursement of the fees to the process to 50 teachers. And then around 2005, the legislature made the decision to match funds put up by a Wyoming private family foundation to provide equal access to and support the National Board Certification Program to all the teachers in the state. An initial biennial appropriation was made then and has been maintained until now. Changes to the statute have not been made until now to adequately reflect the changes in the scope of work of the program as a result of the financial partnership between the legislature and the nonprofit. The National Certifying Organization has also just completed a three-year rollout of a new format, which has required changes to the program's delivery. The National Board did not change the standards, the rigor, or the content of the assessment process. They only changed the format that makes it more manageable and affordable for teachers. And Wyoming's program had to adjust some of it in the timeline of the format as well. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, the bill just strictly puts into statutes the practice of the national program today. And if anybody wants more detail, otherwise I'll leave it at that and ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Perkins.
No.
Nope. Okay. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion when the let me back up here. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with a favorable recommendation that Senate File 104-102 pass, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. Committee of the Whole, the next bill for our consideration. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again so we can begin our consideration of the SF1.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passed. You don't want me to leave my hair for you.
Okay, so do you have a script on this? I don't even know.
The Senate will come to order. Here's the third reading amendments list. Is this it? Third, Senate File 1, third reading of the Senate file. Will the reading clerk, I think, read it in, please.
Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations 2, an act to make appropriations for the fiscal biennium commencing July 1, 2018 and ending June 30, 2020.
And we have an amendment or two. There is an amendment. We'll be reading. Clerk, please read in the First Amendment.
Senate File 1, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, page 5, line 5.
Third case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I've moved Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, this is not deja vu all over again. I found a source for the money. Yay! Hooray! So this does, Mr. President, what this does, of course, is to provide for full-time funding for two liaison positions to work under the direction of the governor solely, but to work on the relationship, which is very complicated between this state of Wyoming and the two sovereign tribes of the Wind River Indian Reservation. As you probably realize, we have enormous interaction with, in terms of Department of Transportation, Department of Health, Department of Family Services, and all our other state agencies. And the reason we have that interaction is these are citizens of the state of Wyoming, and like any other citizen, they deserve the service. But, Mr. President, what I did was to go to the largest agency that has really a defined relationship with the tribes on the Wind River Indian Reservation, and that's the Department of Family Services. They have a budget of $118 million, and they provide by contract, which is currently under negotiation and revision, services to the people of the Wind River Indian Reservation. So I thought with that contract being open, this would be a good place to get the money to provide the liaison positions, which will not only benefit this department, but all of our departments. I ask for your favorable consideration. It doesn't increase funding. It does not increase spending in the budget.
Further discussion? Senator Burns.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's quite a magic trick. You're going to spend $160,000 more in it, but it doesn't increase spending. So are we decreasing the DFS budget by $160,000?
Just a second, Senator Case, before you speak for your second time. Anybody else wish to speak? Senator Case. Oh, just a second. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Folks, if you remember, we have, for the last several years, hit this agency and gone after their associates fairly significantly. Right now, they seem to have a pretty full plate. I just urge caution before we take it out of there and think there's not going to be an impact.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, speaking of impacts, sitting on the Select Water and in other committees, transportation, different things that we're trying to do on the reservation, and different things that need support of the Joint Business Council up there or need support of one tribe or the other tribe. And these are things like we've been trying to get some roads or pipelines through there for years, and we need easements. And those things just stop. We don't have the relationship that we need to have. That's what these liaisons are about. That's to have that relationship so we can do business and they can do business, and we can make that part of our state work efficiently and effectively for all of the state. These liaisons are extremely important to get that done. I urge you to vote for this amendment.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just had a question for the sponsor of the amendment. He implied, I think, that you know, somehow since this agency deals a significant amount with the folks on the reservation, that somehow that the funds be taken out were already being used on the reservation. I was just wondering, is there any guarantee that these funds are going to be somehow taken out of what the DFS does on the reservation, or is it going to be spread throughout the state? Just want some clarification.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd just like to recall the conversation that we just had about schools and Senate Joint Resolution Number 3. And I think the liaison positions are great. But recall the conversation that we just had about having a little skin in the game here, folks. where's the skin in the game? You know, what we get too easily, we too lightly value. I'd just like to see a little skin in the game on this.
Anybody else for their first time before the Senator Burns, you wish to speak for a second time? Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I would just like to know if the sponsor can tell us exactly what service is going to be removed from DFS in exchange for this $160,000. This is one of those things that bothers me, saying, oh, they have a $10 million budget, so they can afford it. But that money is strategically placed. So I was wondering if the sponsor had any idea where that money will be taken out of DFS. Will it be the reservation? Will it be somewhere else? It's sort of a variation on the question of the good senator from the State Fair District.
Anybody else? Senator Case, for your second time.
President, I wanted to spill this notion of the skin in the game. We've heard that several times, and we tried that previously. And we had a situation where the expenses of the tribal liaisons were shared between the state and the tribes. It makes sense when you think about it, but when it's actually performed, it's a place where the little issues like who pays for the desk and how expensive should the desk be caused us huge problems. And it blew up the relationship, and we ended up fighting about these little tiny things. And we realized that also, when you have two masters, you're one of these liaisons, and you have to report to the tribes and to the governor, well, it becomes a little bit lackadaisical, and it did, Mr. President, where the governor's office was not getting the response that they needed, to have them be present for meetings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's better to have them under the complete control of the state of Wyoming. The three names are nominated by the tribes. That's where the relationship is built. Mr. Chairman, there's so much that goes on in the reservation. Millions and millions of dollars of water development. We've paid for wells at Arapaho. We built a new water system at since we passed legislation that lets them qualify for state funds from SLIB, the Business Council, on and on and on. The relationship has gotten very important. And that before we didn't provide services on the reservation, yet we taxed their minerals. That's a big rub in this whole thing, Mr. President. So we've started in the past decade and more doing much more services on the reservation. But it's a complex relationship with different – they have matching programs for what the state of Wyoming has in almost every area, whether it's game and fish, water, utilities, family services, on and on and on. So it's important to beef up that relationship. Yes, this agency has a big contractual relationship with both tribes, and those contracts are under renegotiation now. They're evolving. Could this money come out of those contracts? Possibly. Doesn't say that it has to. It's agency-wide, a very large agency, but I would think that given the importance of those contract negotiations right now, that would be a place that I would look, Mr. President. I hope that answers everybody's questions. Please,
okay.
Bill.
We're voting on third reading amendment number one. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar? No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard? No. No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert? No. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz? No. Nethercott? No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 8 aye, 22 no.
Third reading amendment number one has failed. Third reading amendment number three. Excuse me, Ms. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor for a moment?
Yes, you may.
Mr. President, just to give you the broad strokes, yesterday we spent about $17.5 million or so. $6.2 million of it was when we moved the funding for the state engineer from the water account to the LSRA, and then the other $11.173 million. Was from about four different bills. Ironically, the bulk of that $10 million was spent for the government efficiency program. So just so we can keep track.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Okay, we're on third reading amendment number 3. Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you.
Would the reading clerk please read that in?
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 3, page 1199.
Go ahead, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 1, ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, on page 11 of the budget, when we're looking at the administration information, there's a footnote that raises the number of miles for fleet vehicles to 150,000 prior to replacing those vehicles. This amendment doesn't change that, but I am concerned about that number. I did a quick review of the literature, and when data-based assessment of that replacement was conducted in a state to the west that has a large number of fleet vehicles, they came up with about half of that as being the most cost-effective number of miles to run the vehicle when you consider purchase cost, the sale cost, and then the annual cost of maintenance. So I'm concerned that the $150,000 or 150,000 miles for replacement is actually an inefficient number, and this budget amendment just directs the Department of A&I to study that and to come up with a recommendation based on the annual optimal total cost of ownership when you consider the vehicle mileage, cycle time, and the other parameters. I'd ask the body for favorable consideration. This just directs A&I to figure out if that's the right number and report back to the Joint Appropriations Committee.
Further discussion? Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 3. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. Mr. Vice President, would you come up here? The next amendment to be considered is third reading amendment number 2. Reading clerk, please read that in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 2, page 10, line 23.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1. Members of the Senate, we had some discussion the other day about our group health insurance plan, and there was a sliding scale to increase the participation by our state employees, and that did fail, Mr. Vice President. What this does, and I think what we need to do, and as we look at the cost of our group insurance, I don't think now is the time to have a hit to our state employees in terms of the take-home money that they receive. We haven't given a raise for 3 years, but yet there's a way I think we might be able to save some costs, and it's something that might work for both sides of it. And, Mr. Vice President, that's what this particular amendment does. You know, it tells the Employees Group Insurance Division that they will look at increasing our deductible option, and the language is up to $1,000. And I don't know how many of you are in the private sector. Most of you probably are. You know, for my particular company, our deductible is $6,000, and it makes sense to me that I think our deductible of state's considerably lower, but we ought to look at the savings we might receive if we increase the deductible. Plus, there's also a built-in hidden benefit. I think a lot of people, the higher deductible, may choose to do a few more things rather than running to the doctor or the emergency room. So I would ask for favorable consideration. It just asks them to take a look at it, provide a report back, and so we can see what this may or may not help and what the benefits would be, and I believe there will be benefits. So with that, I would ask for your support, Mr. Vice President.
Further comments on amendment number 2? Seeing none. All in favor of President Bebout's motion to accept amendment number 2 to Senate File 3, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate File 1, excuse me. Third reading, Senate File 1. Got it. Okay. All those in favor, yes. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate file, or amendment number two to Senate, or third reading, amendment number two to Senate file one has passed the Senate. If I caught it. It's second reading. Third reading. I got it. Jeez.
Okay. You wanna. Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, I received some group instruction this morning on presenting amendments, so I'm glad to work with the Vice President.
So noted, Senator Christensen. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number four. Reading clerk, please read that in.
Senate file one, third reading amendment number four, page 11, line 18.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. I would move third reading amendment number four to Senate file one. And fellow senators, this is just a tune-up of some language. We go into the language on page 11, line 18, the multi-payer claims database. You'll remember we're joining in the effort with small business to try to get some information that would come back to our Labor and Health Committee. That tune-up in language, Mr. President, the issue in the language is that the data in and of itself is not going to create the cost savings. That will be entirely up to the legislature. What that information will do is provide us with perhaps some potential cost savings, maybe some recommendations with regard to efficiency. The sentence would now read, the department shall require an annual report from the contractor identifying the potential cost savings and recommend improved efficiency, et cetera. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration on number four.
Further discussion, there being none, we're voting on third reading amendment number four to Senate file one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Third reading amendment number five. Reading clerk, please read that amendment in.
Senate file one, third reading amendment number five, page 19, line 19.
Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment is budget neutral, so that's a good thing to start with. And basically, it's what I'm going to call my Fight the Blight amendment. In our town, we have a creek that runs through, and it has some issues, E. coli and such, and it's not very pretty. And what we want to do is put ourselves in line under the AML funding. I have it from the director of the DEQ that we have approximately $120 million money remaining in coal and non-coal reclamation work, and anticipate in lieu reclamation funds over the next 2 years to be approximately $180 million. And so this just puts us in line in the Tier 2, as we novices call it. And what I'd like to do is I wanted to ask if we had the privilege of the floor to have Ray Peterson sing for me, but instead, all of us know that musical where they call
That's
the
out of order.
I know, unfortunately, and I can't sing. So you know that musical where they call the wind Mariah? Well, I have a song that's going to go, We Call the Blight Pariah. So please consider this amendment favorably. It is revenue neutral.
Mr. Vice President, would you come up here, please?
Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Are we on?
Yeah, now you are.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just a question of the sponsor, and certainly we've talked about this before, and there's a need out there, and you had language in there. We do all the other things relative to what we have to do to qualify for AML funds, and the AML funds are very important to the state for a lot of reasons. The question I have is, you know, as I understand it, the way the department works in the DEQ, and particularly the AML division, they've got this prioritized, and they have set up a system on how they go through the projects. Why do we want to get involved and specifically tell them rather than letting the process work in the way they do their business? And if they're not doing it, then that's one thing. But I believe that they're very conscious, are very knowledgeable and understand this, and they've got it in their system and they're working on it. But why are we going to tell them what to do and reach in there and try to micromanage their work?
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To address that discussion, this obviously has been an ongoing topic in terms of how do we create. There was a lot of discussion about whether or not it would be an eligible project for the original AML prior balance funds, whether it would be available for the AML remediation in what are the Paragraph A funds, that's the primary coal purposed funds, And over the years, those funds have not been able to be allocated towards it because of some details of how there was movement that was unrelated to coal in terms of a river that complicates the whole situation. So the funds for the reclamation have never been able to be available to this project, even though there's been a lot of agreement that they probably should. It was due to the coal mining in the community that these difficulties occurred. But in the eyes of the department, the funds could not be utilized. Those coal remediation funds could not be utilized. And so the project has not been able to proceed. We're moving to a point now where the existing projects in the state for those remediation funds that we get each year have been remedied. As a result of that, for the first time in many years, there will be leftover funds that can then go past paragraph A and down into paragraphs B and C, where C are these public projects that can be utilizing those same funds that are paid out each year. And the process hasn't even been initiated, really, on how to spend those funds. That's something that's going to be worked on in the next couple of years. We spent them a long time ago, and we haven't been spending them in so long that they really don't have that process worked out yet, Mr. President. The way I see the Bitter Creek project, it's sort of the tier 1.5. If tier 1 are the coal projects and tier 2 are the non-related projects, this is one that's at that 1.5 nexus, and it's really a decision of this body. This simply says, all right, let's get this one done, Mr. President. We recognize that this is coal-related, but it didn't meet the fine requirements of the SMACRA laws that were behind it. But I think we're all familiar with what went on in the community. We understand the history of that project. We do understand that it's coal-related, and it's appropriate, particularly while we don't even have a process in place for us to say, all right, it's finally time to spend some of the money that we're getting back from the federal government for remediation on a project that needs to be remediated. Yeah.
Mr. President, I'm against this. This doesn't put it in line, puts this at the front of the line. It's kind of a parochial amendment. If I was from Sweetwater County, I'd probably be on this amendment too. We put projects in front of the line actually in the last few years, and I was hoping that we would end that and let the DEQ go about its business the way the other agencies go about their business and put it in priority and take it in the line in terms of need and so forth. I don't know what this project would replace. But according to DEQ and their priorities, it's a greater need than this.
Mr. President, I'm unclear as to whether on its face this amendment requires a roll call vote under our rules or not. But if the rules don't provide for it, I would call for the yeas and nays.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I'm in support of this great amendment. And, I've been involved with this Bitter Creek issue for quite some time and had folks from DEQ over to our community a couple different times and had some discussions. And, you know, a lot of the confusion had initially started from the fact that there was a mine and a railroad by the same name, and there was a confusion as to the association to coal. And there's absolutely the association because the riverbed was moved not because of the railroad, but because of the mine, which, is I guess you could say unfortunately had the same name because it's caused all this confusion. But there has been a great need, and DEQ does recognize that. And, you know, this is time to move this forward.
Anybody else for the first time? Senator Hicks.
President, on and for the amendment.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment, we have moved this list up and down numerous times. This is a coal-related issue. It's some historic coal mining that occurred there in the city of Rock Springs. certainly is a component that's eligible for the program. You know, we've moved hundreds of millions of dollars of AML money that were non-mine-related projects. I think to the project up in the Campbell County where we put hundreds of millions into a pipeline for a municipal project. This is truly coal mine reclamation work, has a nexus there. I don't see anything wrong with moving this up the list to actually use AML money to do AML work on and for the amendment.
Okay, anybody else for the first time? Okay, Senator Anderson.
On and for the amendment, Mr. Chairman. I have listened to this for some time, and I think it's time we do something about it. I like the story about the Bitter Creek mine. It was an underground mine, and the creek was actually leaking into it, so they moved the creek. And, of course, when you do that, you move it into unnatural areas where it is not as pretty as it was in its natural state. So this really is coal mine related, and I think we need to do something with it. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Senator Baldwin, jump in.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll make it quick, and I won't jump. I'm too old to jump. This is deja vu. I had the same conversation last budget session on the other end of the building, a little different conversation because they were different personalities, same thing. It's been very educational. As a matter of fact, as the good senator from Natrona County was talking about, there's still a pipe up. If you follow that creek up the pipe, there's a pipe coming out of the original mine where that water was dumped into the creek and created quite a problem. Matter of fact, if you go there and smell, it smells very bad. It's something that needs badly done. I stand on and for this amendment.
Okay, anybody else for the first time? Anybody else for the first time? Hold on, Senator and Salmi Dalton. Senator Burns, for your second time.
Mr. President, I'm not unsympathetic with the situation down in Sweetwater County. It is not a good situation. However, if I knew what project this is going to be jumping in front of, I could sit here and tell a sob story about degradation and blight and so forth. So I have to kind of discount for that reason. And I'm actually kind of really more bothered by the comments from the senator from Bagg saying we've interfered and micromanaged this fund for years, so let's just keep doing it. You know, we have ourselves a very nice basketball court over in Laramie from interfering in this fund. So I was hoping that this was something that the legislature was going to stop micromanaging.
Okay. Senator Anselmi Dalton for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's also about the kids in our community. People go in that stream. There is E. coli. It's for the kids. Put it ahead. Take one for with the team. Thank you.
Okay, the A's and A's have been called for. Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Agar? Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case? No. Christensen? No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter? Aye. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
Peterson? No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
No.
Wasserberger?
Excused?
Excused. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Christensen? No. To aye? Christensen, no to aye?
Kinski?
No to aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 16 aye, 13 no, 1 excused.
You say 16 or 15?
16.
16. Okay. Third reading amendment 5 has passed. Next amendment for consideration is third reading amendment number 6. Mr. Vice President, would you come up here?
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move third reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 1. Members of the Senate, we've had a lot of discussion in the last couple of years about the Consumer Advocate Division over under the PSC, and there's been a lot of, I believe, testimony both for and against the effectiveness of this particular division. And I would submit to you that in terms of how I look at reading their annual reports, that it leaves something lacking in what I expect out of a division like this, and to be truly be an advocate for the consumer. And what this does, Mr. Vice President, it only funds them for 1 year. And I just think we need to have more accountability in this division. You know, what they were set up to do, if you read the statutes, what their charge is, what their mission is, what they're obligated by law to do, quite frankly, has not been completed. And so the purpose of this, Mr. Vice President, is to say, okay, you got one more year, and we postponed this for 2 or 3 years. I haven't seen a lot of improvement. That's my personal opinion. Others will have differences, of course. But this sets it up for a one-year funding, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you. Further discussion, Senator Case?
Mr. President, or Mr. Vice President, I'm sorry. The Office of the Consumer Advocate was actually created in a spinoff from the Public Service Commission. And I worked for many years at a commission that we didn't do that spinoff thing. And previously there was what was called a Chinese wall, where these staff members were available to work with the commission, but when they were involved in a contested case, they'd have to separate discussing that case with the commissioners. I think it worked very well. It's very efficient. What I've seen with the what's happened is that the commission itself lost staff to this agency and doesn't have a lot of capability to analyze the things they need to be involved in. So there's been kind of a bit of, grabbing of power, I suppose, is one way to say it. And I've been disappointed in the performance of this agency in a few areas, and I'll tell you. One is with respect to the large telecommunications provider that provides the state. I don't think that they have allowed that carrier to evolve with the times. Another area I've been disappointed is in the area of electricity regulation. This consumer advocate agency has entered into agreements to settle electricity cases on numerous occasions in our history. And I think we heard from the majority floor leader about the progress of electricity rates in Wyoming. That's why your interim corporations committee is kind of working on this two-year interim project. And that's many of the bills you've seen come forward as part of that. All that being said, you know, there's one area where we are at a critical point. We are negotiating the redefinition of the assets of the largest electricity provider in the state. As you know, that electricity provider supplies several states in the region. It's 6 states total, so things like power plants are divided up between all these different states, coal plants, for example, renewable plants, and that's evolving. And that's evolving in the context of states that have different plants than we do. So those assets all are going to be divided up and divided a different way. Currently, we get 15% of the allocation of transmission and generation. But that will change as Oregon moves to eliminating coal, as California goes to 40% power from renewables, on and on and on. More of those renewable assets are more likely to be in the jurisdiction of that company. This is the most critical negotiations we've had in years. The only real expertise for that, the most significant expertise, is on the Office of the Consumer Advocate. And I would like to make sure that if this continues and this agency is consolidated, I'd rather prefer that it was back with the commission. They go back to the old way, and that particularly that person that's doing the negotiation, who's very important to the state of Wyoming, remain with the commission. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussion on third reading amendment 6. Senator Anderson.
Mr. Vice President, on and for this amendment, the only problem I see is that it funds the agency 1 year too long.
Thank you for the words of wisdom, Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, this is an agency we need because these utility regulatory matters are incredibly complicated. And I continue to be impressed with the work we do on Committee 7 as to how complicated these issues are. The problem that you get into if you don't have an agency like this, you only hear the utility side because the individual consumer doesn't have the knowledge, doesn't have the time, doesn't have enough financial interest at stake in general to intervene in some of the fundamental issues that determines the rate, because it's very expensive to intervene because it's so complicated. You need this agency so that you don't have a complete capture of your regulator by the utility because they're only hearing one point of view. Having said that, there may well be some reason to be concerned about the performance of this agency. So it's not general funds. It doesn't. Our deficit isn't involved in this one because they are funded by an assessment on the utilities. So vote it up or vote it down, but understand that long term we need this agency, and whether they need to be restructured to make them more vigorous, whether some other changes need to be made, we do need this agency.
Further discussion on third reading amendment 6. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm not against the amendment, and I understand the concerns, but the approach the amendment takes really is to say, hey, if they're not doing a good enough job, let's get rid of them. But we looked at this on the Minerals Committee 2 years ago, maybe something along those lines, and I think there is certainly some argument that they're not doing a good enough job, but what I took away from that is that what they do is statutorily imposed. So if we don't like what they do and the way they do it, honestly, that's on us. It's the fact that we didn't write the statutes in a way that empowers them to exercise the interests of the state of Wyoming. We can't blame them for working within statutes that they then don't have the power to represent the consumer. And that second point is, again, this is a consumer advocacy position where we need somebody to be able to, in the negotiations, represent the interest of these individuals that are paying for the power. Somebody has to be at the table saying, hey, this doesn't work for the consumer. And if the role is failing, we need to fix that. I think that's the right thing to do, is to take a look at the statute, empower them, and find a way to make them better. But the idea that if they're not doing a good enough job at this essential role, we'll just eliminate the role, doesn't seem like the right approach. So, again, maybe this is the kind of thing that we do, again, as an interim topic, or get the Minerals Committee or the Corporations Committee to take a look at this during the interim so we can make it better. But the idea that we would eliminate our advocate as individual consumers in response to the fact that they're just not representing us well enough makes me uncomfortable, so I urge the body to reject that.
Further conversation, Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with my friend, the senator from Bates Creek, that we need this agency, and I agree with the president that they could do a much better job. I've seen the performance in some rate cases I've been involved in on behalf of our town, and the performance could be sharpened up considerably. I guess I'll just leave it there. And if it takes a 1 year appropriation to kind of get their attention and get them to the table and, as my brother says, sit up straight, comb their hair, and keep their eyes on their own paper, then I'm all for the amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Wasserberger. Nope, you're good. Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none. Second time, Senator Bebo, or President Bebo.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President. I really appreciate those comments, and actually, my colleague from over the hill, the Ivory Tower, took my second reading or my second comments to heart, and pretty much what I was going to say. You know, this is not the way we legislate, senators. We don't come in on a third reading amendment and whack an agency in half, even though we have a serious consideration and problems with it. So, absent any objection, Mr. Vice President, what I'm going to do is withdraw this amendment. However, it's a problem, and maybe we need to readjust how we do it, what we do within the PSC. Maybe there's a better way, and I think there probably is. And so having serving on management council, you know, Mr. Chairman of Appropriations, Senator Burns, will try to, my colleague from Sheridan, excuse me, will try to get this up there on the agenda. Let's give this a full hearing. You know, clearly we need to do something different. So without objection, I will withdraw this amendment, Mr. Vice President.
Being no objections, so moved.
Oh, someone was behind me checking on me there. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to deal with the next amendment, but there's somebody whose time's much more valuable than mine.
Members of the Senate, you know, sitting up here is long, and there's a lot of things that are good and bad about this, but one of the real pleasures of being your president is I have the opportunity to introduce someone very, very special to the great state of Wyoming. Someone that back in 1986, when he first ran for the House, as I did, we were both elected, and right then I could see a future great leader for Wyoming. And we actually had some NZB bout bills. Of course, I let him carry them because he could do a much better job than me. And they were very successful, and we worked diligently in the House. Then he moved to the Senate. We still had some of the NZ. Maybe we changed it to Bebot NZ once in a while. I'm not sure. But members of the Senate, Senator Mike NZ, our senior senator, has done such a great job. Nobody's got more respect in Washington, in my opinion, as a quiet, gentle leader that does it all behind the scenes, not concerned about what may be perceived as his agenda or whatever. His agenda is for our country, for our state. Just a great American. Mike, please, it's so good to have you in our Senate. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. This is Old Home Week. I just love to come and watch people working at their desk, getting things done, balancing a budget. Wow. I want to mention, though, that in the break room there are some special cookies today. The cookies were baked by my wife, who does that in Washington a lot of times. So we try to celebrate all the people that do the real work, you know, the plumbers, the electricians, the janitors, the waiters, the guard staff. And so she bakes 200 dozen cookies for that every year to give them a little celebration, and in August they start asking us if we're going to do that again. Well, there's a real important event for Wyoming that you can help participate in, and that's encouraging kids to get a congressional medal. We have the Congressional Awards Program, and any kid can earn it. Now, what they have to do is they have to set some goals for themselves. They have to have some educational goals, some physical goals, some expedition goals. But the biggest one is community service. And that's the main reason we do this program, is to get kids started on community service early. And if they get 100 hours of community service, they can get a bronze medal. If they get another 100 hours, they can get a silver medal. If they get another 100 hours, they can get a gold medal. And in Wyoming, we fly them to Washington, and they get a little scholarship along with it. But here's the important part of this. Washington doesn't put a dime into this program. Each state has to come up with their own money for it. And consequently, in August, we do a golf tournament, and a number of you participate in that golf tournament. And we have a lot of people from lobbyists from the East who come out and help out with it. But we also do a couple of other fundraisers, and one of them is an auction. And in the auction, we had an item that was up, and it was doing pretty well. But Eli said, if Diana will throw in some of her cookies, I'll give another $1,000. And these will be the most expensive cookies you've ever eaten. But he reminded Diana that she hadn't delivered yet, so yesterday she baked cookies in the break room for you.
Oh!
I do appreciate that you're in the middle of the budget now. Incidentally, your budget process is totally different than the Washington budget process. Thank goodness. Actually, I'm the chairman of the budget committee, and what the budget committee there does, is set the spending limits in all the different categories. It doesn't get into details. That's appropriations. You're doing the appropriating here. That's the fun part, because that's where you get to give away the money. The budget's the part where we're having to set the constraints on it. But our budget process is broken for a number of reasons, and I'm trying to fix that. The longest that any budget has lasted before it's been overridden, and it can be overridden with just 60 votes, and to pass a bill in the Senate, you have to have 60 votes anyway. So it's far too easy to violate the budget. You do a two-year budget, and it has to balance. We do a 10-year budget and claim that it balances. Now, the difficulty with 10 years, and some people would like me to go out 20 years with the budget. It'd be easier to balance in 20 years. Mostly because you can steal from the back end and move it to the front end and get to spend what you want to spend, but run into this little difficulty the further you run out there. It's called deficits. And I'm trying to overcome that part of the process. I had a penny plan, and 7 years ago when I was doing this and gathering some favorable attention, if we would have just taken one penny off of everybody's money, for a period of 7 years, the budget would have balanced, and we'd be kind of in the same shape that you're in now. We didn't do that, though. Now it would take 2.5 cents to do the same thing. So we've got a little hurdle to climb over. Incidentally, we did pass a tax cut last year. That came through budget. And it came through budget because it only takes 51 votes, but it has a whole lot more requirements that it has to meet. But that put me in charge of it, and I'm pleased that we got it done. We're already seeing benefits from it. One of the categories that we wrestle with is called repatriation. There are a lot of companies from the United States that have been doing business overseas, and as long as they don't bring the money back, their profits back, they don't have to pay a tax on it. When they bring it back, they have to pay a 35% tax on it. So nobody brings their money back. Well, we gave a little discount on that. And if they would bring it back. Now, that was the tough part of the budget for me, because the way we score things, if we reduce that from 35% to 20%, or in some cases 10%, that costs me 20 to 25% loss, even though we finally get revenue out of it. And one company alone brought back 10% of what we'd anticipated in the whole 10 years in the very first month. And there have been several others that have brought some back, too. But that was $35 billion in taxes in 1 month, which, so it is working. Companies are making plans and into the future, and people are getting bonuses. People are getting increases in wages. And all of that adds to the amount of tax revenue that's coming in. I checked back on the previous tax cuts that we'd done, and it actually brought in more revenue than we'd anticipated. Well, not more than we'd anticipated, but more than we'd been getting. The difficulty was we spent twice as much as the extra revenue that we brought in. Much easier to spend than it is to save. And that's also brought out in some of the lottery statistics. If a person wins a lottery, they will spend twice as much as they won. So our taxes are a lottery. So I do appreciate the way that you work. I appreciated learning how to work by being in these two bodies and from many of you. One of the most memorable discussions I ever had was a small business discussion that I had in the House. Eli and I had opposite sides on the particular bill, and both of us used our very first business experience as an example, and it was worm farming. So just a lot of great memories happen here, and I hope that you take the time to write down the memories that happen with you while you're here. We're going to be doing a lot of interesting things this year in the United States Senate. If you have any suggestions, get them to me. I appreciate it. If there's some research that we can do for you, get it to us. We have quite a staff. One of them is called the Congressional Research Service, and they do great nonpartisan work on researching anything. But it'll be an interesting time, because this is an election year, and election years, as you know, change everything. In Washington, it changes it much earlier because many of the states have already had their primary. But somehow we'll make it through it, and it'll be because I can remember the work that you're doing as you actually sit here. In Washington, you know, if you give a speech on the floor, there's nobody there listening. And I used to sell shoes, and I knew that if there wasn't somebody to talk to, you weren't making a sale. So so I carry a list with me of the people that I need to see each day and catch them one-on-one. That way I'm doing my own vote count. We don't do anything nearly as quickly as you do because we actually have to have a cloture motion to actually start the debate on a bill. And that means we have to have 60 people in favor of it. And if that passes, then we get to debate for 30 hours whether we want to debate the bill or not. And then we have another cloture motion. And if that one passes, we have another 30 hours of debate on what the bill is going to actually have in it. And then we get to debate the bill. And at the end of that process, we have another cloture vote that requires 60 votes. So you can see that there's 90 hours. And what's astounding is it's the same way for appointments. If the opposition doesn't want an appointment to happen, they can institute that. And this year, that's pretty much been the way that it is. So it takes us up to 90 hours to get an appointment through. I did some calculations earlier, about a month ago, and at the rate we're going on nominations for this president, it's going to take us 9 years to get them finished. That's if we don't do anything else. So that's another process that needs to be changed, and you'll hear some debate on that too. You get to do nominations. The Senate's kind of a special place for that. You're the employment agency. And it is a significant task that you have to do, and you have to review those. And I wish you luck on that. Incidentally, my wife says that I need to mention that on budgeting that I always turn back 25% of my own personal budget so that I can help balance that budget. I appreciate the way that Wyoming is very frugal and does what needs to be done. You're under some difficult constraints because you have to balance your budget in a two-year period, and you do that, and I thank you for it, and I thank you for all the great education that you gave me and the time that I spent here. Thank you.
Second, Mike. Members of the Senate, as you all well know, behind each and every one of us that chose to do public service is our significant other. And Senator Enzi mentioned his lovely wife, Diana. Diana, thank you so much. Let's give her a standing ovation, please. And if you wouldn't mind, would you come up here to the front, please? We want to get a picture of you up here. And William, hello, William. In the back, William, come up here, too. I know how much you respect our senior senator. I know you'd like to have his picture, too. So we'll just stand at ease till the sound of the gavel.
Michael?
Your head won't be in there if you stand on that chair, Mr. President.
Oh. Come on, Chris, get in here. We got it.
Okay, third reading, amendment number 7. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 7, page 25, line 4.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I'm the one that just happened to be closest to the door at 5 o'clock. This is actually something, it was the Vice President's amendment, and it changed that. So I would ask for him to explain it.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 7 to Senate File 1. And what this does is if they wanted to mirror exactly what the House did, and the House used the word interim on line 33, you see it says Business and Economic Development Interim Committee. We forgot the interim, so we have a new budget amendment, and basically what it does is sends the governor's energy plans into the ITC, and it's something we'd asked for, and we are going to discuss this during the interim in Minerals Committee, and that's what they wanted to mirror exactly and use the word interim. So I ask for your aye vote.
Question being called for. We're voting on third reading amendment number 7. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 7 has passed. Third reading amendment number 8. Reading clerk, please read that amendment in. Excuse me. Senator Nethercott.
Privilege of the floor, please, Mr. President.
You may.
Thank you. Senators, we have in the gallery fifth graders from the Prairie Wind Elementary School here in Laramie County. If you could give them a warm Senate welcome as they wave back to you. They are a brilliant bunch coming from Senate District 4.
Welcome to the Senate. And you might ask your senator that just spoke where she went to school. It was Riverton.
I did. I was a Jackson Jaguar.
Senator Baldwin.
Privilege of the floor.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. In our gallery, and they're all going to stand. As some members of a physician group, if they would all please stand. They're looking at me like, who, me? The Wyoming Medical Society initiated a statewide Physician Leadership Academy this year. The Wyoming Leaders in Medicine program provides critical leadership training to leading physicians while exposing them to the underpinnings, I can't imagine what that is, of Wyoming healthcare communities across the state. The leadership program is helping to fight physician burnout by connecting and strengthening relationships among Wyoming's top physicians across the state. The program's initial class is in the gallery. I will try to pronounce their names. I will butcher them. Meet me out in the gallery later. You can beat me up. And if you raise your hands as I say your name, we have Dr. Paul Johnson, an ENT surgeon from Laramie. We have Christina Beringer, a doctor in family medicine from Cheyenne. Dr. Chris Schamber, there's the first butcher, in internal medicine from Sheridan. Brad Hanebrink, a DO, anesthesiologist from Sheridan. Betsy Spomer, a family physician medicine from Powell. Dr. David Armstrong, a rheumatologist from Cheyenne. Dr. Dan Serdam, an emergency medicine specialist from Cheyenne. Dr. Nate Reeb, a general surgeon from Powell. Dr. Spencer Weston, I know him personally, I wouldn't trust him. Not really, he's a great doctor. He took over for me when I came down here. He's a family medicine specialist from Evanston. Dr. Erica Rinker, she's a family medicine specialist from Gillette. And finally, Dr. J.J. Chen, a psychiatrist from Cheyenne, who we probably all need to visit with after this session.
Thank you for that introduction, Senator Baldwin. Welcome to the Senate. Would you, reading clerk, please read in third reading amendment number 8.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 8, page 26 after line 21.
Senator Case, I believe that's your amendment.
Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 8 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, this is exactly deja vu all over again, but I felt that you've probably been contacted by these people that are concerned about their sportsmen fees being used in this game bird farming when we explicitly said they shouldn't do that, and that the governor's letter also indicated that. So this would stop the game and fish and prevent them from using any sportsman-generated funds for servicing this game bird farm. Appreciate your vote.
Thank you. Okay, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and against, in the interest of time, all the same amendments that caused us to defeat this before still apply.
Okay, further discussion, we're voting on third reading amendment number 8. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed,
no?
Go ahead, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, this is an amendment spending money. I think it has to be a roll call vote.
Well, Senator Burns, yesterday we didn't do it, but if you want to do a roll call vote, call for the ayes and nays, please.
I don't care.
Okay, Chief Kirk, please. I misunderstood the chief clerk. We did have a roll call vote the other day, so you both are right and I'm wrong. Please call the roll call on Senate third reading amendment number 8 to Senate File 1.
Agar? No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
No.
Nethercott?
No.
Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Yes. Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladen?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote?
Barnard,
aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 6 aye, 24 no.
Third reading amendment number 8 has failed. Third reading amendment number 9. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 9, page 29, line 14.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 9 to Senate File 1. The problem, what this does is on page 29 under aeronautics, it inserts a 2 and under general fund increase amount by $1 million. Of this general fund appropriation, $1 million should only be expended to continue the air service enhancement program created by statute 10.3601 under the following conditions. What this amounts to is that in the 3 airports we subsidize today, and we're going to come back, and if the next year, if they have reached an agreement with a contractor to start this new capacity program, they say, the contractors all say, and we have experience with this, it takes about 6 months. So if you add 6 to approximately March 1st when they do get the final approval from us, there'll be a gap of about April through September to possibly October in which they need to continue air service or TSA goes away. TSA has a 60-day, if you discontinue air service for over 60 days, they leave. It literally, and literally, I mean this, takes an act of Congress. So when Sheridan got their TSA back, they had to put that into a bill and have Congress approve putting TSA back in Sheridan. So what this does, should they not be able to get the contract signed in time and the person with the routes and the FAA approval to service the 3 airports we do now service, this allows aeronautics to spend up to $1 million to continue that service with some contractor, hopefully the existing one, until we do get the capacity agreement going. And so this will carry them through August and September and possibly into October, and that's what we need to do. But it also puts a caveat on there that they must spend all their air service enhancement money, which they have now, and under contract. And so they need to spend $2,624,000 before this $1 million will kick in, and it only can be expended should there be an interruption in services. Otherwise, if we go right into the capacity agreement, this money comes back to us, and any difference left over would also come back to us. So I ask for your aye vote on this particular amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I met with the director of DOT, I guess, before to try to find out what was going on, and so I'm trying to get these dates right, and it was around that $3 million, so the $2,624,000, whatever, that sounds like the right number of funds that are in there for our current enhancement program, and it sounds like that's enough money to get us through April of next year, and we meet before April of next year. We'll have a better idea about, you know, where the demands are for funds at that time. So I think maybe this is a little premature. I know it gives people a better comfort level if the $1 million is there, but we'll be back here sitting, or a lot of you will, sitting right here in these desks, and we'll have a better idea about what's been done, what type of air enhancement program we have or don't have, what funds are actually needed at that time because we're longer in the process. So, Mr. President, reluctantly, I'd say maybe we let this one sit on the back burner until that time next year.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, thank you. I think we need to understand two things here. The two communities that this could really have an effect on happen to be Sheridan and Riverton with the current carrier that they have. Rock Springs is a little bit different because they have the CRJ-200s being flown right now, but it also is at risk because it's under the Air Service Enhancement Program. In answer to the good senator from Goshen County, I think we need to understand as well that you just don't decide today and have airplanes start flying tomorrow. The airlines out there, when they schedule their capacity and they schedule their frequencies and they schedule their equipment, a lot of this takes place up to 12 months out. So I would ask that you support the amendment. I think it does give some protection, safe gap for these communities. Hate to see TSA go away. We had an awful time getting TSA back in Sheridan in particular after I think it was the carrier that's based here in Cheyenne pulled out. So I ask that you support the amendment.
Okay. Senator Von Flater, anybody else for the first time? Senator Von Flater for your second time.
I would also say that the timing issue, and I agree completely with Senator Meyer, excuse me, with the good senator from the Goshen County area, that we will be back here. But the fact is that they usually sign those extensions or the contracts in January, February, and we don't want to have that gap where they say, believe us, we're going to get this money from, and would you please serve us for a couple more months? You know, just believe us, we'll get this money. So that's why we're asking for it now, so in January, February, they can go to those people, like the person that's servicing Riverton and Sheridan, and say, we want you to extend your contract. We have the money. We'll continue the minimum revenue guarantees. So I ask for your aye vote on this particular amendment.
Chief Clerk, please call the roll on third reading amendment number 9.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz? Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
No. Von Flatern?
Aye.
Wasserberger? Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 23 aye, 7 no.
Third reading amendment number 9 has passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're moving along here, not real fast, but not real bad either. However, the staff hasn't had a break since 8. We probably better let them stretch their legs.
Okay, the Senate will stand at ease for the sound of the gavel.